Just looking back over the course of this past week, we still have this sense in markets that the Fed is going to pivot at some point next year towards lower interest rates. In fact, the way that markets have rallied, it's not only they're going to pivot, but they're probably going to do it sooner rather than later. And when they get going, they're going to do a lot of it. The only problem is, the data still doesn't tend to support that idea. It still supports the idea that, if anything, the U.S. is still quite away from being in a position where it can think about lowering interest rates. And in fact, there's still some risks that they may need to lift interest rates further. The market for the time being is totally ignoring that. Now, often this happens heading into Christmas anyway, and if they're going to be a reckoning on this, it's probably going to be more in the new year. But just going through some of the key data points last week, still pretty firm in terms of things like the labour market. So, initial jobless claims are hovering around the 219,000 to 220,000 a week now. They did get back up to the 250s, 260s. They, if anything, are saying that the labour market's getting stronger. We had a pretty firm non-farm payrolls report when it came out on Friday. The average hourly earnings were a notch higher than expected. They were expected to rise 0.3% month on month. They rose by 0.4%. So the annual rate of change on wages only came down slightly to 4% from 4.1%. Non-farm payrolls were stronger than expected. Market was looking for 180,000. They came in 199,000. And the unemployment rate, which had been edging higher over the last few months, came down two notches to 3.7% from 3.9%. Now, sure, that's a lagging indicator, but it suggests there's still quite a deal of tightness through labour market. And there's no way that the central bank could be in any position to think about lowering interest rates when you're getting those sorts of numbers running through the labour market. We also, earlier in the week, had the November ISM non-manufacturing survey came out, and it firmed more than expected. This is a leading indicator, and it suggests, if anything, things are actually lifting again in the US. So we had the November ISM non-manufacturing survey. It was at 51.8, going back the month before. I thought it might lift slightly to 52. It went up to 52.7. So it's working its way firmly. This accounts for about 90% of the economy. And then right at the end of last week, we had the December Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. It's the preliminary report of this one. And this one had quite a bounce on it. It went from 61.3 going back to November to 69.4. The market was looking for 62 on that. So it was 7 full points higher than the market was looking for. So if anything, the US economy is getting, if anything, more wind under its sails. But for the time being, the market's saying, oh no, we got ourselves into this mindset where we think that things are going to slow enough and that we'll be able to see the Fed bringing interest rates off. It's just looking risky. It's sort of these things often they don't happen in this sort of time phase before Christmas, where often it's a Santa rally that runs through, but they can brutally come back in the new year when reality starts to bite. This week we have some more pretty key data coming out of the US. On Tuesday, we have the November Consumer Price Index. Now, the market's looking for this to improve again on an annual basis. So the November CPI is expected to be zero month on month. It was zero month on month going back the month before. It's largely been the pullback running through energy prices, which have helped here through the CPI. And that would bring the annual rate of change in the CPI down to 3.1 from 3.2%. Now, remembering that CPI has been on a bit of a roller coaster in the US, we were down at 3 year-on-year way back in June, and then we got a setback where we ran up all the way up to 3.7% before we've seen it pulling back again over the course of the last few months. That's exactly the sort of roller coaster I think is going to be here for a little while yet. the moment, on the low side, if anything, it's supporting the market view that the Fed can pivot, but I don't expect it to stay there. The core CPI won't look anywhere near as good. If anything, that'll be up about 0.3%, and the year-on-year is just stuck at 4% year-on-year, so that is just holding there at a higher level. We'll get producer prices coming out the day after. They also are influenced at this point by the lower energy prices. They'll be up about 0.1%, 0.2% month on month, so not a lot of pressure running through there. We also get the two-day FOMC meeting Tuesday, Wednesday, and reporting our time very early on Thursday morning. And it looks like they will hold the interest rate at 5.5%. Remembering that Jerome Powell says that interest rates are well and truly into what they term contractionary territory or tight territory. So they have to have a very compelling reason if they're going to move interest rates further at this point. They haven't got that compelling reason out of the data that we've had over the course of the last month or so. But they will have some reason to try and lean into market sentiment. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if the commentary that comes off the back of this is along the lines that we're still going to have to be holding interest rates up for quite a lengthy period of time. And we'll see that in the interest rate forecast. The various Fed governors will get those at this meeting as well. So that'll be watched with some interest. Moving into the late part of the week, watching jobless claims again around the 220,000 mark. We'll also get November retail sales coming out on Thursday. They were down 0.1% in October after a very strong... interesting to see what sort of change we get for November. The market's hoping for a weak one, so they're looking for minus 0.1%. We'll wait to see whether that comes about. I have my doubts about that. Moving to China and the data there, slightly on the firmer side for leading indicators. So we had the November cakes in non-manufacturing PMI came out. It was better than expected. It went up to 51.5 from 50.4. Market was looking at 50.7 there. Trade data, whilst it was a little bit better on the export side, November exports went from minus 6.4% year-on-year. It was expected to go to minus 1.1. It got to plus 0.5%, so a little bit better than expected on the export side. Imports, though, were quite a bit weaker than expected, and that often relates to domestic demand. So imports, they were up 3% year-on-year, going back to the month of October. Expected still to be up around about 3% year-on-year. They were down by 0.6% year-on-year for the most recent month, so a bit of softness running through there. And the excess supply that's running through the Chinese economy is still evident in their inflation indicators. Against the trend around much of the rest of the world, November CPI there is into deflationary territory. It was expected to fall 0.1% month on month, the CPI. It fell by 0.5% year on year. That's extended the deflation, if you like, from minus 0.2% year-on-year going back to October to minus 0.5% in November. It's also evident there in producer prices, which came in at minus 3% year-on-year from minus 2.6% year-on-year the month before. This is indicative of how this is an economy which is really hard to get demand up to a level now, taking care of output. And the problem, of course, is that if you've got not only have you got this problem of deflation in China, but it is leaving quite a deal of unemployment running through the Chinese economy. So that they are desperately looking at ways in which they can look towards boosting economic activity, and we shouldn't be surprised if there's some announcements from time to time. But they are struggling on that front too, because the area which they've liked to pump in the past, there's been things relating to property development. That obviously isn't going to work this time, because that's the sector which is in most chronic oversupply at present. Moving to the data out of China this week, we'll get their regular run of indicators of local output, local demand. We get November fixed asset investment spending. That's up only 2.9% year on year, going back to the month of October. Market's looking for it to be around that, around 3% year on year for the most recent months, and not much change there. Industrial production may be a slight lift, running to 5.6% year on year from 4.6, going back the month before. There is some hope that, you know, there has been quite a lift in retail spending. So market is looking for 12.5% year-on-year lift in that from 7.6%. You know, if we get that, you know, that would be a reasonably helpful indicator as far as China is concerned, that it is lifting somewhat. Moving to Australia, and of course last week we had the RBA meeting, no change at that meeting, still indicating that they're data watching and that they won't hesitate to lift rates if they need to, but you know, they're watching the data to see if things are coming back. You know, there's still some domestic price pressures that they're watching pretty carefully. And you know, that's the sort of story we got through the GDP reading that came out last week. That was the key reading that came out last week. And if you're looking at it in real terms, it looks as if the economy has slowed quite a bit. So when we're looking at GDP growth, it was up only 0.2% in real terms, quarter on quarter. That's up 2.1% year on year. Looking at GDP per head, that's in recession. So in real terms, minus 0.5% quarter on quarter, minus 0.3% year on year. The difference between the two is that what's really holding demand up here is population growth. And of course, that's driven by immigration. And although we're talking about immigration this week with what might be happening with the immigration targets, at the moment, we've had record immigration over the past year, 580,000 people. And that accounts for the difference between total real GDP and GDP per head. Effectively, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, it changes minus 0.5 to plus 0.2. And on an annual basis, it changes minus 0.3 to plus 2.1. So on an annual basis, it's 2.5 percentage points of GDP demand, which has come from just the growth in population alone, largely driven by immigration. So that's one story that comes out of the GDP numbers. Another story is that nominal GDP growth is still way stronger. And this is the world that we live in, for company profits and for paying wages. And nominal GDP growth was 1.2%, 4.5% year on year. That's a way stronger number. And what it says is that the price deflators are a pressure point. So when we look at the price deflators inside the GDP read, the GDP price implicit price deflator was up 1% quarter on quarter. But if we're looking at the price deflator relating to domestic spending, the domestic final demand price deflator was up 1.3% quarter on quarter, 5.2% year on year. That's the highest annual reading in something like 30 years. And very clearly suggests that it's domestic price pressures which are running through the local economy. That not high nominal GDP read too, allowed employers to pay up quite substantially for labour through the course of the quarter. Compensation of employees was up 2.6% quarter on quarter, 8.4% year on year. So that's obviously going to be sustaining some price pressure as we go forward. Now, you can also see the cost of living pressures that are on households. And this comes through in household disposable income. Gross household disposable income rose reasonably strongly. But inside that, there's a component called income payable. And this relates to income taxes and interest rates. Income payable rose 6.3% quarter on quarter, 27.9% year on year. And the reason for that is mostly higher income tax, because we lost the low and middle income tax rebate at the beginning of the quarter. So that was a very substantial chunk in income payable for households, and higher interest rates net. So that's where you see this, these difficulties which are running through these numbers. That there's plenty of evidence of cost of living pressure running through. How did households manage to cope with this? Well, basically they ran down savings again. So the household savings ratio came down from 2.8% to 1.1% in the most recent quarter. But overall, these numbers, they show some softness running through, but not enough softness. And so this is the pressure point for the RBA, that with the softness we saw running through the GDP numbers through the quarter, it still left very, very high price pressures running through. And it suggests that we need even weaker growth than this to be able to get on top of inflation. There's not enough of a smoking gun in any of this to push the Reserve Bank to another rate hike particularly quickly, but it means that they are going to be monitoring the data for quite some time to come before they make their next decision. Another factor which suggests that things are still pretty firm, we had October home loans came out, and they had a very large rise for the most recent month. They're expected to rise by 0.8%. They rose by 5.6% month on month. So this suggests that, even though there's specific pressures which are driving, the reason why people will chase houses even at ridiculously high prices, that they're more than willing to do it. And whilst that's happening, we're unlikely to get economic activity which is soft enough to really continue to bear down inflation. So this is the sort of reason why there's still a risk here that there's another rate hike out there somewhere, and we're watching the data, because even though the economy is showing some signs of softening, it's not softening anywhere near enough to really bring inflation under control over time. This week in Australia, we get some confidence and data, both for businesses and also for consumers. We get the NAB Business Conditions Survey for the month of November. Business conditions are still showing pretty strong reading. Going back a month ago, it was plus 13. Anything above zero here suggests that you've got more optimists than pessimists. So that's actually quite a strong reading. Business confidence, because of what's been happening through interest rates and other things, was at minus 2. So slightly on the side of more pessimists and optimists out there. So waiting to see what comes through there. Consumer sentiment fell last month. It's down at quite a low ebb at minus 2.6% as interest rates biting. And then on Thursday, we get the labour force report. The market is thinking that we'll have a much softer result than the previous month. Previous month, we had a very big 55,000 increase in employment. So for November, when it comes out on Thursday, the market thinks that will have fallen back to only 1,000 lift in employment. But there'll also be some drop probably in the participation rate from the record high 67% last month, perhaps to 66.9. If all that comes to pass, the unemployment rate will trickle up to 3.8% from 3.7%, recognising that the RBA really needs the unemployment rate to be up next month, round about the 4% mark, to keep some pressure off wages. And at the moment, we're just not getting up there. We've still got a too tight labour market. Briefly on Europe, and we had some retail sales data came out for the month of October. It was slightly better than the previous two very weak months. It was only up, though, 0.1% after being down 0.1% the month before. We had revised GDP, and GDP stayed the same. It was minus 0.1% quarter on quarter. Zero year on year for GDP growth there. Think of Australia, we're at 2.1 in real terms. So it's a fair bit weaker as far as Europe's concerned. And we also had their services sector PMI, which lifted a little bit to 48.7 from 47.8. It's below 50. Softer than most other areas. This week, key thing in Europe is going to be the ECB meeting, their last one for this year, and that's out on Thursday. and there's no reason for them to really adjust rates. If there is a central bank that may be in a position to pivot at some point relatively early in 2024, it's probably the European Central Bank. But at this stage, they'll still be holding their cash rate too at 4%. So just watching all these factors, there's some quirky underlying strength in some of these indicators, particularly so for the US, which is largely being ignored, at least by the bond market in the US, which is looking towards interest rates coming down and coming down promptly and a lot. None of that looks realistic at this point. But to see some sort of correction to that this side of Christmas is probably unrealistic. Usually when these trends get moving, they go to extremes and then really whop back with a vengeance at some point.